I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you, and I will never, never desert you. For lo, I am with you forever and ever. And if you say,
praise God. This is the Word of Faith Netcast, and I'm glad you can join us again this week as we continue teaching the Word of God. Now, we're going to go to a little different direction, a little different topic than we had the week before, and I trust that you will be blessed by this netcast. Now, just a little word of explanation for those of you that are not aware, this netcast airs on our website, WOFM.org, as a netcast, that is, as a video available through the website. You can actually watch it as a streaming video, or you can download it to your iPod or to your personal media player, whatever it might be, whatever brand, doesn't matter, but you can download it and you can watch it as a video. So you can check out my smiling face if you'd like. Also, we have it as audio. And that audio is available where you can download it once again, put it on your MP3 player, put it on your personal media player, whatever. Or you can listen to it right there off the website. And it's also available as a broadcast netcast, if that makes any sense, which is available on WFR.org, which we've talked about in past weeks as a new internet radio station that is preaching the uncompromising Word of Faith message to the entire world. And we're getting response from all over the world about the blessing and the benefit that Word of Faith Radio is being to people. So that is exciting. And we're getting a lot of support from a lot of ministries. When I say that, I'm not talking about financial support predominantly. I'm talking about that they are putting their broadcasts on Word of Faith Radio, and so more and more ministries are signing up to be on Word of Faith Radio. Our newest one that I heard about, there may be more, I haven't talked to Harold recently, but when I last talked to him, he was saying that Lynn Mink has signed up and is going to have his broadcast as a daily broadcast on Word of Faith Radio. And you can actually go to WFR.org and see the entire broadcast schedule for Word of Faith Radio. So that's just exciting. Now, as you may know, we are on Monday through Friday at 11:30, right after Brother Kenneth Copeland, who comes on at 11 o'clock. That's our Monday through Friday Word of Faith broadcast, which is a 15-minute daily broadcast. And then we're on an additional day, which is Sunday morning, at 9:30, right after Brother Copeland's 9 o'clock program. His is a 30-minute program on Sunday morning, and then we have our 30-minute netcast, which is what you're listening to and or watching right now, and that is on Sunday morning at 9:30. So we're on 6 days a week. Isn't that amazing? 6 days a week preaching the uncompromised Word of Faith message, and I tell you what, it is a blessing to be able to do that. So I've been talking for the last, I don't know, how many weeks now, about getting those videos from Dr. Gary Price's program, which is called Message of Victory. He is pastor of Word of Faith Worship Center in Concord, North Carolina. And by the way, he's also on WFR.org, so you can catch his broadcast as well. And so at any rate, I'm on his TV program, which is a cable television broadcast. And I like to get the video from his program and air it right here on the netcast. And so far, I haven't been able to get that. They haven't quite mastered those videos up yet. As soon as they are, I'll be able to put them on. But until then, that's okay. We're going to preach the word. You know that. And so we're going to get into a new topic this week. So let's go ahead and turn in your Bible with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, that's where we're going to begin our teaching. And who knows where we're going to go from there. Praise the Lord. Isn't it? You know how it is. When I start teaching, it just goes in whatever direction the Holy Ghost wants it to. And that's a good thing. I don't like to over-prepare. I do some study and I prepare, but I'm always open for the Holy Spirit to come in and just take over and take me in a whole different direction. And you know what? I actually enjoy that because those are the times that I learn the most. And you say, Dr. Bill, you mean you learn from listening to your own teaching? Oh, absolutely, because the Holy Spirit's the actual teacher. I'm just here being a mouthpiece. So, you know, I get to hear the same message you do, and I get just as excited hearing the Word of God taught. So, praise the Lord. It's just exciting what God has for us. So let's go ahead and get into the scripture today. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now let me ask you this right off the bat. Are you in Christ Jesus? You say, well, Dr. Bill, I assume so. Well, if you're assuming, then you may not be. Let's make sure you are in Christ Jesus. You say, well, how can I know? You can know because you do what the Bible says, not what your church says, not what your denomination says, not even what Dr. Bill says. Do what the Bible says. And you say, well, how can I do what the Bible says? Let's go to Romans chapter 10. I know we're diverting just a little bit here, but I told you, that's the way it works. The Holy Spirit just comes in and just takes over, and that's a good thing because we need to make sure that you're where you need to be. Romans chapter 10, a few chapters further in Romans. Romans chapter 10, verse 8, what saith it? The word is nigh thee, that's near to you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now, everybody that's listening to this netcast probably knows this is Word of Faith Ministries. This is the Word of Faith netcast, and I just mentioned that the daily program is called the Word of Faith Broadcast. That's a lot of Word of Faith, isn't it? Well, you know, the Word of Faith is what we preach because that's what the Bible says right here in Romans 10:8. It's what it said that Paul preached. Paul told the Romans, this is the Word of Faith which we preach. Well, the we he's talking about there is he and Timothy and all of the people that ministered with him. All the ministers that he ministered with were Word of Faith ministers. You say, well, Dr. Bill, I thought that Kenneth Copeland and Charles Capps and all of those guys were Word of Faith ministers. Well, they are. But they didn't invent the Word of Faith. Kenneth E. Hagin didn't invent the Word of Faith. E.W. Kenyon didn't invent the Word of Faith. No, it was listed right here in Romans chapter 10, verse 8, because Paul said it's the Word of Faith that we preach. And you know, Jesus in Mark 16 said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. You know the gospel he was saying that everybody should preach? It's the Word of Faith. Amen. How do you know that? Because it says in Mark 16 that he upbraided them for their unbelief. So he didn't like unbelief. But then he turned right around and said, now go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to all men. And those that believe will be baptized. They'll speak with other tongues. They'll pick up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Of course, we know pick up serpents. They're in talking about having services where you go around and pick up snakes for the sake of doing it. No, it's talking about like Paul on the island of Miletus where he reached down for some firewood and grabbed a snake by accident, and the snake bit him, but he shook it off and was not harmed because he was operating in faith and believing that nothing would harm him. So, you know, we're not talking about being crazy now, you know, when we read that verse of scripture, but it did say that the word was confirmed that they preached with signs following. So signs, wonders following the word of God as they preached the word of faith, not unbelief, didn't say the word of unbelief. It said the word of faith. Amen. We're to preach the word of faith. Now let's go back to Romans chapter 8. Or excuse me, before we do that, let me pick up. I didn't finish my thought on verse chapter 10, verse 8. So let's do that. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. I'm really excited about getting back to Romans 8. That's part of the thing. But we need to finish up what we need to finish up here. Verse 8 says in Romans 10, what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That, here it is, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Jesus as Lord, or the Lord Jesus, it says here in the King James. Basically, it's saying confess Jesus as your personal Lord and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him, Jesus, from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So how are you saved? By believing that God raised him from the dead, by confessing him as your personal Lord. You notice it doesn't say to confess every single one of your sins. No, it as a believer, to become born again, you don't have to confess every one of your sins. Now, back in the old covenant, they confessed all their sins and so forth, but that's not necessary with the new covenant because Jesus has provided everything. It's not a matter of our works. So all we have to do is receive Jesus Christ as the Lord, believe God raised him from the dead, and we shall be saved. The confession we're making here is the confession of Jesus as our Lord. Amen. But this verse right here describes how the whole kingdom of God really operates. We believe in our heart, we confess with our mouth. We believe in our heart, we confess with our mouth. That's the process that faith works by. That's the process that healing comes. That's the process by which you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you're born again but you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and spoken in other tongues, all you got to do is confess with your mouth, Father, I thank you that I am filled with your Holy Ghost. Praise God, believe in your heart that you are filled, and then just begin to open your mouth and speak those words that the Holy Spirit gives you, and you'll begin to speak in other tongues even as the Spirit gives you utterance, just like they did in Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Amen? So, the whole kingdom of God, everything that you might need to operate in as a believer is confess with your mouth the word and the faith that is in your heart. So first you got to hear the word. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Same Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You hear the word, you get it in your heart. Whatever's in your heart in abundance comes out of your mouth. When it comes out of your mouth, what comes out of your mouth that agrees with what's in your heart in abundance comes to pass. That is the word of faith message in a nutshell. So, there is therefore, now we're back to Romans chapter 8. Okay, we took a little side journey. We're coming back. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So are you in Christ Jesus now? Yeah, amen. If you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, delivered, healed, protected, made whole, spirit, soul, body, financially, and socially, which means you are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Who walk not after the flesh. Here we go. Here's our study. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, what does it mean to walk after the flesh, and what does it mean to walk after the Spirit? That's what we want to look at here. That's the predominant subject for our study today. What does it mean to walk after the flesh? Let's look at that first. The word walk here in the Greek is peripateo, is the Greek word. Now, that's obviously a transliteration of the Greek word. My pronunciation may not be all that perfect, so don't hold me to that. But notice the definition here from Strong's Concordance. It says, to tread all around, that is to walk at large as proof of ability, figuratively to live or to deport oneself or to follow as a companion. So now, what does it mean to walk? It doesn't just mean, now it does mean to walk with your feet. Okay, amen. That's pretty straightforward. But it also means to live and to deport oneself. How you deport yourself, how you live day in and day out. In other words, your walk. A lot of people put it this way. Your walk in life or your walk of faith is how you deport yourself day in and day out. And notice how you follow as a companion. How you follow as a companion. In other words, if you follow the Lord, if you are following the Lord, then you follow him as a companion, side by side. That's your daily walk. We can put it that way. So notice there's no condemnation. Now, it would behoove us to go back and look at that word condemnation. Let's do that. The word condemnation here is again the Greek word katakrima. It means an adverse sentence or verdict. So basically, it's like you're in a trial. you know, you're the subject of a trial, and there's a judge, and there's a prosecuting attorney, and there's a defense attorney. You can get the picture, just like being in a court case. But it says there's now no condemnation, or take the translation and put it in there, no adverse sentence or verdict for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk, whose daily walk is not after the flesh. Now, what's the word flesh here? See, we need to take that word and get the definition of that. That is the Greek word sarx. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds like a video game character to me. S-A-R-X, sarx. That's the Greek word that you use for flesh. Isn't that something? It means flesh as stripped of the skin. Ugh. That is strictly the meat of an animal as food, or by extension, the body, as opposed to the soul or the spirit. Ah, now that sounds more like what we're talking about, doesn't it? But notice, it's talking about meat here. It's talking about just your old flesh, the meat part of you. And really, when you get right down to it, it's the part you see when you look in the mirror. That's your flesh. That's the meat, as the meat of an animal. Now, by extension, it is the human body, as or a body, as opposed to soul or spirit, or as the symbol of that which is external, by means of kindred or implication, human nature with its frailties, physically or morally, and its passions, or a carnal human being. Wow, what a definition. Sarx. That is the flesh. It is that carnal, physical, human being. It is that human nature. So in other words, if you're in Christ Jesus, you need to walk not after the human nature, not after that physical body, but after the spirit. Now, what's the word spirit here? See, we've looked at flesh, sarx. Now let's look at spirit. The word spirit is the Greek word pneuma. We've taught on that before. The word pneuma means literally a current of air, that is breath, or a breeze. By analogy or figuratively, a spirit, that is the human spirit, the rational soul, by implication, here it is, the vital principle. I like this definition, the vital principle. It's the you that makes you, you. It's the very heart of you. You are a spirit. You have a mind, will, and emotions. You live in a physical body, which is your sarx. It's your physical flesh and blood and bone body. So, the pneuma is the spirit. You are a spirit. You have a mind, will, and emotions. You live in a body. Once you understand that, I've said this many, many times before because the Lord said it to me. You know, he revealed this to me supernaturally one time as I was studying scriptures. He actually had me go into the Bible and make a note of every word translated spirit, every word translated heart, every word translated soul, every word translated body, and put the definition, the Greek or Hebrew definition, beside each one of those words. It took a while to do, but he was in the process of teaching me about spirit, soul, and body. The triune nature of man. Did you know you were a triune being? See, we know God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We know he's a trinity. He's a triune being. Well, so are you as a human being. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. You are what theologically is called a tripartite man. Amen. Tripartite man. That's just a theological reference to the fact that you are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. But once you understand that, here's what the Lord showed me in my study as he took me through all that. He said, if you will ever understand that you are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body, it will go a long way towards you understanding the whole, I guess you might say, panoply of Scripture. Everything from the Word of God with reference to you, because you know how it's reacting, whether it's spiritual, whether it's soulish, or whether it's physical, how those various spiritual aspects or scriptures or whatever it is apply to each part of you, who you really are. See, once you know you are a spirit, once you know that the human spirit is at the core of your being, Once you know that that spirit has as its possession a mind, will, and emotions, which is in the Greek word psuche, or what we would call the soul, that whole part of you is the mind, will, and emotions. It's that you have emotions in. It's that you think with. That's your soulish realm. Then there's the physical, the soma in the Greek. Now, I know we had sark there from this particular word in this verse of Scripture in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, but in most cases it's translated soma. And there's even a scientific word called soma type, which means body type. Are you a large person? Are you a very skinny person? That's your soma type. Well, I have one of my other degrees is in natural health, and sometimes we get into some of those areas, kind of brush past them a little bit because there's aspects of that study that I've done as well. But that soma type or body type is the kind of person you are physically. Now, it doesn't say anything about how you are spiritually, doesn't say anything about how you are in the soulish realm, but how you are strictly physically. But the key here is you got these three parts. You are a spirit. You have a soul, you live in a body. Now, what you do with those three parts determines how you live or how you walk out your life, which is what we're talking about here in the Scripture. There's therefore now no condemnation or adverse sentence in a court from those or to those which are in Christ Jesus, Jesus, the anointed one in his anointing, who tread all around, walk at large, how you live, how you deport yourself, how you follow as a companion, not after the physical, the sarks. We don't want to follow after the flesh, but we want to follow after the Spirit. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Woo, boy, there's a lot here, and we need to take this apart. So we want to take some time to take this apart. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now, sometimes you get an itch, and you just have to scratch it. The law, those of you that are watching the netcast going, why does he keep scratching his lip? Because it itches. Okay, for the law of the Spirit of life, hey, this is very informal, just me and you here together, talking. The law here is the Greek word nomos. Nomos. Now the transliteration of that is N-O-M-O-S. Nomos. And it means to parcel out, especially food or grazing to animals, the law through the idea of prescriptive usage, generally regulations, specifically of Moses, including the volumes of the law that he wrote, also of the gospel, or figuratively a principle. So let's take just the defining words here. Food, law, regulation, principle. Well, food to the human body is that which keeps it going. Amen? Regulation is what keeps us in line, doesn't it? If we are on a highway and we drive along, we see that little sign, that little rectangular sign that says speed limit 55. What do we know? There is a regulatory sign. Have you ever gone for your driver's license and had to take that test? I did. And when I took that test, I had to remember that little sign was a regulatory sign. Sometimes they'll let you get by with saying it's a speed limit sign because that's what it is. But by categorization, it is a regulatory sign. So why do they call it a regulatory sign? Because it tells you what the law is. In that little stretch of highway, the regulation is that you have to drive 55 or below. That's the speed limit. A limit is not to be exceeded. I'm preaching to myself. Amen. I'm getting better. Hallelujah. I'm a whole lot better than I used to be. Amen. Haven't had a ticket in a very long time because I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Amen. Well, that's what a regulation is for. That's what the law is for, is to keep you in check, keep you doing what you're supposed to be doing. All right. It's also a principle. There's a principle involved. You know why they want you to drive 55 or less? Because they have determined through whatever studies or whatever principles they're applying, that's the safe speed for that area. 120 is not the safe speed. Now, you may be driving 55, and you come up on a really sharp turn, and it says, it has a little sign there, a little regulation that says, in this turn, you can only do 25 miles an hour. Why have they determined that? Because they've determined that's the principle that will keep you safe. You need to do what is the regulation is, what the principle is, in order to stay safe. Now, I like that word principle, and I'm going to use that in place of or defining this particular verse so it'll make sense to us. For the principle of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the principle of sin and death. Amen? Could go back and say it this way. For the regulation of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the regulation of sin and death. Did you know that spiritual things work by law? If you don't, you should. Spiritual things work by process of principles and of laws. They are not random. They are not haphazard. You know, Albert Einstein once said many years ago, God does not play dice with the universe. Did you know he said that? What do you mean by that? There are principles and there are laws that God has put in motion. Now, he was talking strictly physically. He was a physicist, and he dealt with things from a physical point of view. But he basically said, God does not play dice with the universe. He does not believe in random, I'll do whatever I want to do. Did you know that by that, it's easy to point out that God would not agree with super sovereignty teaching, what I call hyper sovereignty? Hyper sovereignty basically says, I don't care what God wrote in his Bible. He can do anything he wants to do because he's God and he's sovereign. Yeah, I know the Bible says that he's the healer, but he can make you sick to teach you something. See, that's hyper-sovereignty. That is contrary to what the Bible teaches, because the Bible teaches that God is not a man that he should lie. It teaches that God is consistent above all else, that you can trust his word. Amen. So by trusting his word, we know that he's consistent. If he's consistent, it goes back to Albert Einstein's principle, God does not play dice with the universe. You can trust God's word. You can trust his will. You can know his will. It is possible to know the will of God. Matter of fact, the word of God says in the book of Ephesians that those that don't know the will of God are unwise. And that's the Greek word aphroni, which means stupid, ignorant, egotistic, and unbelieving. Wow. Amen. So we need to understand what the will of the Lord is. But once you understand what the will of the Lord is, then you can trust his will. You can trust his word. You can trust that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. He is not a man that he should lie. It is impossible, the word says, for God to lie. Now, that being the case, it implies very strongly that he is absolutely consistent, doesn't it? So this hyper-sovereignty teaching of you never know what God's going to do and he's just going to do whatever he wants to do at any given point in time cannot be true. Now, to take that apart even further, let's say it this way. It is possible for God to do anything. Amen? But he himself personally has put a restriction on himself that he'll only do what he said he would do in his word. Can you see that? Can you see that? Now, let me ask you a question. Let me put it this way. Is it humanly, physically possible for me to take a gun and shoot somebody? Yes, it is. Would I do it? Talking about Bill Bailey. Would I do it? No. No. I'm not going to kill somebody. Why? Because I know thou shalt not kill, right? Amen. I have placed myself under a constraint, under a regulation that I will obey the law of God and will not kill. So if you ask the question, can I shoot somebody? Yes. Will I shoot somebody? No. Amen. Because I am following the regulation, the law of God. Now, in the same way, God has put himself under the constraint of his own word. Is it possible for God to do anything? Absolutely, it is possible for him to do it. Will he just do anything, whatever comes to mind at any point in time? No, because he's put himself under the constraint of his own word. You say, Dr. Bell, I just can't believe that God would put himself under some kind of constraint. Why not? That's consistency. How else are we as Christians going to know what our Father God's going to do and how he's going to react unless he, A, tells us what he's going to do, and then B, sticks to it? Amen. He's consistent. He's not a man that he should lie. It is impossible for him to lie. He has told us what he's going to do, and he's going to do just that. He has placed himself under a constraint. Wow. Now, some of you are kind of scratching your head going, I don't know about that now, Dr. Bill. Well, you need to, because if you'll get a hold of that, it'll help you in your spiritual walk. It'll help you in your faith walk. It'll help you in your faith life. Remember, we're to walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. If you're going to walk after the Spirit, that's how you purport yourself. That's who you're going to be a companion with. That's how you're going to walk. Remember that definition. Then you're going to have to do it according to the Word of God. And that's what we're going to find out as we continue our study here. Whew, I tell you, we're getting into some things. We're digging deep into some things here. That's the difference between the man that built his house on the sand and the man that built his house on the rock. The storm came to both people's houses the same way, same storm. But one man's house stood because it was built on the rock of revelation, knowledge of the Word of God. The other man's house is built on sand. It just shifted and fell and collapsed. You need to base your life on the Word of God, on standing on the Word of God, and that's what's going to make the difference. Amen? Well, we're out of time. We're going to have to go. I want you to write me here at Word of Faith Ministries. Word of Faith Ministries, P.O. Box 4066, Archdale, North Carolina, 27263. Now, that's 4066 is the P.O. Box, Archdale, North Carolina, 27263. You can also write me at my email address, which is drbill, D-R-B-I-L-L, at wfm.org. And I'd encourage you to go by our website and check out all the good stuff that we've got there, all the resources we've got there, and tell folks, tell your friends, tell your family about our website and have them come by and check out all the resources there. I got an email just a few days ago from a lady that had been doing a study on being a doer of the Word of God, and she read some of our teachings there and says, man, your teachings on your website have helped me tremendously to get closer to God. And she said, I'd love to get that tape offer. Well, the thing is, she was talking about a tape offer that was offered back in July of 1980. So that tape offer is not around anymore. But I tell you what, I'm going to put her together a CD of that teaching on doing the Word of God, and I'm going to send it to her. So praise the Lord. Even folks that read the website and see stuff like that, we still try to accommodate them because we want to get the Word of God to them. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I trust you understand that. Some of those offers it talks about in our newsletters, they're back, you know, 25, almost 30 years old, some of them. But hey, we want to get the word out. That's why we have the website out there. That's why we have it available for folks to receive from. Praise the Lord. Now, join us next time. Tell folks about the ministry. Tell folks about Word of Faith Radio, WFR.org. Check out the schedule on WFR.org. There's a little button there, schedule. Click on that and look at all those ministries. Oh, wow, that are preaching the uncompromised Word of Faith, because it's the Word of Faith that we preach. Amen? All right, join us next time. Remember, until then, to fulfill the Word of God.